Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. We're walking together through Luke's telling of the coming of Jesus. And this is from Joel Green's translation of the message of the angel Gabriel to Mary. And he starts with that word. It could be translated greetings, but Joel says here it actually is a command, rejoice. Now, eventually, Mary will rejoice. And when she does, a prayer will be given that is known as the Magnificat that will impact the world for thousands of years. But she doesn't initially. Rejoice, favored one. And that expression, favored one, is a single word. What's striking here is Mary didn't do anything to earn the status of favored one. God just chooses her for no reason at all. God's favor comes to you through Jesus in the same way. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to achieve it. You don't have to. God just loves you. Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. Say a word about that also. This is the great news of the incarnation, what Dallas Willard calls the Emmanuel principle that runs through all the Bible, the offer of the with God life. Now, God is present with you. And the question is, as Roger Bretherton put it, in our day, folks talk a lot about mindfulness, being present in the present. But what we're called to is one more step, being present to the presence in the present. In this moment right here, Nancy and I are staying at a friend's place up in the Bay Area. And this morning I looked out a window and 10 feet away, there's a deer just staring at me through the window. Who made that deer? Who should I thank about for that deer? This morning I was having a phone call with my friend Sam and he was walking through a bunch of other stuff. And then he said at one point just a single sentence about the future as it could relate to me. And it was like that sentence just leapt out at me. And it was, John, you need to pay attention to this. God is present. God is present with you in your work. God wants you to be connected to your work and you will find Jesus there. We were talking today to a friend who had kind of a dream job, lifetime possibility to achieve something, and all of a sudden it was taken away. And I thought there would just be, you know, devastation and heartbreak. And instead there was this unbowed spirit. Well, God has something else for me now. I wonder what it will be. Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. There's an old saying that I love. The headlights of a car only show you 15 feet of illumination at one time, but that 15 feet will get you all the way home. I have a renewed appreciation of that. I got a car from an app that I'm using while I'm up here in the Bay Area. And last night I was driving home from the East Bay and the headlights went out. You try driving when you got to get off of the freeway when there are no headlights to guide you on there, that will scare the snot out of you. And it made me think from one moment to the next, through scripture, through the words of a friend, through the still small voice of the conscience, God is present to give guidance. Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Mary is going to continue to reflect on and ponder and wonder about. She is troubled here. I was talking to my sister yesterday about ways in which I was kind of sad. And she said, you know, sometimes instead of just pushing that away and saying, I shouldn't be sad and I just want to be positive, you need to allow those feelings to be present because there's no other way to deal with and find God except to do that right where you are. So she said, sometimes you need to engage in what might be called sanctified wallowing. She told me a book that she had read about wallowing, just being present to the presence, in the presence of difficult or negative feelings sometimes. And that's what Mary is doing here. Her whole life is going to be deeply, deeply disrupted. I was just thinking about stuff I don't usually think about when I think about Mary and Jesus, like she would have to go through morning sickness. Pretty much every woman does, my understanding is. And for Mary, when she woke up in the morning and said, "Jesus, I'm sick." That was like a prayer. She was literally the first woman to say that. And she would be aware of him and talking with him and be present with him, but her life would be deeply disrupted by this. She was betrothed to be married to Joseph, and now he's going to find out that she is pregnant, and he knows that he is not the one that did it. There is going to be a sexual stigma attached to Mary that people in her little village would have known about. It's striking that when Jesus grew up, some of the people who were most drawn to him were women who would have been in a sexually scandalized category. Woman caught in adultery. Samaritan woman at the well that had been married 5 times was now living with a guy. A sinful woman in Luke 7 that anoints his feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair. Prostitutes. And I wonder if part of why Jesus had such a heart for women in that situation is really his mom was kind of one. She is troubled by what that initial announcement of the good news doesn't look like good news to her at first. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You will notice all of this kingdom language here about Jesus. When Jesus begins his ministry, it will be by proclaiming the good news of the availability of life now in the kingdom of God through Jesus. Where does Jesus discover that that is his good news? Well, the first one to hear it was his mom, was Mary, who was troubled and perplexed and pondered and came to understand it and then would have told Jesus about it. See, it all goes back to this conversation between Gabriel and Mary. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month for her who was said to be barren. For no word from God will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Rejoice. And that's coming for Mary, and it's coming for you, and you may be ready to rejoice right now. But if you're not, if you need to ponder right now, just remember the very first Christmas that came as a disruption, and it did not look the way that anybody thought that it was going to look. A good friend of mine was telling me recently about this Advent season, which is kind of complicated, and, you know, he grew up in the Midwest with the idea that life would look like the script. You get married, you have 2.5 children, live in a house with a white picket fence. Everything goes the way that it's supposed to. Your kids make the choices that you want them to make. And life and work and relationships and faith all unfolds quite neatly. And it has not been that way at all. And choices have been made. People have gone down paths. He's ended up having to be involved in relationships and connections that look nothing like what that script said. But this was his account. Non-standard. My life is non-standard. What I'm doing right now is non-standard, but so far so good. Non-standard, but so far so good. Well, that was Mary's journey. Non-standard. I'm pregnant and I'm not married yet. Non-standard, but so far so good. Jesus will be present with you, for with God, nothing is impossible. That's not a chirpy, saccharine sentiment. Think about another family where I know where the mom and the dad have had not one but 2 children with Down syndrome. And with God, no word is impossible, nothing is impossible, doesn't mean that that's going to be taken away, that those children will be standard children as our world thinks of standard. It means that enough love and grace will be available that too can be a little outpost of the kingdom. That family can be a little outpost of the kingdom. Your life, this day right here, can be a little outpost of the kingdom. Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses.